For the law was given through Moses. Notice the contrast again. Back to the Exodus. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So John now capitalizes on what he is bringing to us. In other words, is Jesus come to bring condemnation to his people? No. Sure, he's bringing condemnation for those who do not believe, and we'll study that. But the drive of the coming of the Savior is this, to give grace and truth.
Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're back in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. Last week, we left off looking at this passage, a message called A Tabernacle Not Made with Hands. Well, today we continue our look at this marvelous passage. It is God revealing himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. What an amazing chapter. Here's Pastor Chris now, as we learn more.
And the Word became flesh, and here's the Word, and he tabernacled among us. John is so deliberate in picking that word. He tabernacled among us. So what he just said was, right out of the gates in John, everything that the Old Testament was about, everything about the tabernacle and God's presence and glory that it was speaking of is fulfilled and was anticipating the arrival of Jesus in human flesh. You see, when he became flesh, that glory was concealed, wasn't it? This is why the transfiguration was so important. Remember when they wanted to see the glory and the Lord took them off to the side, three of them, and they went up on the mountain, and for a little bit, he let that glory break out and show them what they could handle. And remember what happened? He transfigured. The glory was coming out, and they are ducking at that point. It was an encouragement to them so that they could see for a moment who he is. And Peter will pick up on that in 1 Peter and say, we saw the glory. We saw the glory. Well, the tabernacle is Jesus. He's come to us. Hebrews says he's a tabernacle not made with hands, now in the heavens for us. Jesus is God among us. What is the point of this? No one in the Old Testament could see God's glory and live. Understand that. That's what Moses learned. That's what Isaiah learned. What is John saying here? Look carefully at this. It's really remarkable, isn't it? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Whoa. You know how shocking a statement that is? We see him for who he is. We have seen him. Now, not everyone looked at Jesus and said, there's the glory of God. In fact, he was rather disappointing to many people. They wanted the glory to be an outward, glorious kingdom where he would come and throw down the Romans and he would display the power in the ways that they wanted him to display power. Remember in John 6, they're going to try to come and make him king, and he wants nothing to do with it. The New Testament writers are saying to us something so wonderful. God said, 2 Corinthians 4, let light shine out of darkness. That light has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So, all the writers are saying, when we looked upon the face of Jesus, we saw the glory. What a marvel. How are we brought back to God? Think of what you say in the Heidelberg. We don't study these things for no reason. We don't memorize them, boys and girls, for no reason. Now, it's kind of like finally putting it all together. And then it just starts snapping and you see the whole story. That's how it went for me. I didn't know how to read the Bible for years. And one day I was able to see the whole story come together. And all these bits and pieces that I had along the way, all of a sudden the light bulb went on. It's like the Karate Kid when he was painting. If you haven't seen this, I just... And finally he realized he could do all this stuff, right? I see it. Why must this mediator be truly God? So that the mediator, by the power of his divinity, might bear the weight of God's wrath in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. What a statement. Well, why must he be true and righteous man? Why did he take on our flesh, our human nature? He must be true man because God's justice requires that the same human nature which has sinned should pay for its sin. He must be righteous man because one who is himself a sinner cannot pay for others. Here it all is. He brings us back. He is God among us. And this is the most wonderful news that John announces. In fact, I don't have this written down, but if you look toward the end of the chapter, the next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him, John the Baptist, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As he is gazing on Jesus, Jesus is passing by him. That glory is passing by him as it passed by Moses, and John is saying, "That's him." And he's come to take away the sin of the world. Wow. I mean, what a glorious section of Scripture to tell you that everything the Exodus was all about is being fulfilled. Now, I want you to notice specifically, he has come to tabernacle among us. He has come to dwell among us. But what is his ministry to us? Well, John says, we've seen his glory, the glories of the only Son from the Father. Notice this. What is he full of? Grace and truth. Verse 15, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me." Yeah, he's eternal because he was before me. And then comes this. For from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Here, notice the contrast again. Back to the Exodus. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So John now capitalizes on what he is bringing to us. In other words, is Jesus come to bring condemnation to his people? No. Sure, he's bringing condemnation for those who do not believe, and we'll study that. But the drive of the coming of the Savior is this: to give grace and truth. His ministry to us is this. John doesn't just say grace, by the way. I always like to notice this in the prologue. John says grace upon grace. Grace in addition to grace. In other words, it is endless flow of grace, grace upon grace, more grace and more grace and more grace is what he is giving to us in the whole course of our lives. From grace to grace we go, grace upon grace upon grace is his disposition and gift to us. There's an endless flow of grace to you, is what he's saying. Endless. An endless fountain is opened, Isaiah. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Doesn't mean grace and truth weren't in Moses. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this: the ministry of Moses in the administration of the law never had the power to free. I don't know if anyone misses that or disagrees with that. The law always showed us the standard and the way. It said, "Do this and you'll live." Jesus came and said, "Grace, I'll do it. I'll do it." His ministry came saying, "I have done for you. There's no condemnation," Romans 8, "for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am doing. Look to me. There's endless grace in me. I'm the mediator." Moses was not the mediator this way. I'm the mediator this way. You ever thought about how much you enjoy this? We just take this stuff for granted. I was thinking of Paul's thorn in the flesh. And Paul gets this thorn in the flesh in the course of his life. He had something physical happen to him that was distressing. And so he says, I went to the Lord three times to pray about it. I went to Jesus and I said, Lord, please take it away. Take it away. And he specifically responded with an interesting thing, didn't he? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. I'm gonna dump grace on you. You may not get the answer you want, but here's what I am going to give you through it. Grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to uphold you, and I'm not going to let you go. Grace to give you the strength every day that you need. You know, Johanna this week, I take a whole new look now and approach when I sit with somebody after my own father's death, and I sit with somebody and they've received a diagnosis that is terminal. It's going to be over shortly. Now, when you think you get that and you have this, think about it if this is you. And your time's over short. Think of your sister right now, Johanna, how she feels. This is exactly what my father died from, and I'll never forget, and I shared this with Johanna. I said, you know, his response to me was, well, if this is the Lord's, it looks like this is the end, the Lord, of the time he's given me, and I accept that. You weren't there when you were born. You didn't ask to be born the first time. You definitely didn't ask to be born the second time when he gave you life. And you have no control when you go out. You can run down the street as much as you want and put on your jogging shorts. You're not going to add to it. It's really hard to sit with someone who knows this. But it really wasn't. Because she was receiving grace. And her confidence in the Lord's promises and her confidence in the Lord's will and his plan gave her the joy and strength that she needs. There's an endless flow he gives to you. But it's not just this. It's grace for salvation. To save you from all your sins. It's a grace that never stops flowing from him. He never stops and says, ah, you've been really bad today. I'm not giving it. Doesn't do it. And then he ministers constantly not only grace to you, but what else? Truth. That's the most comforting thing to hear in our world today, isn't it? Where is truth? What is truth? Everyone has their own version of it. You've come out of postmodernism. You realize that used to say, you can have your truth, I'll have my truth. We'll all believe in truth. And you know what? Just don't tell me that your truth is in disagreement with my truth and we'll all be good. They don't believe that anymore. They're saying you submit to our truth or else. That's not postmodernism. Jesus is truth. And guess what? He's ministering to you constantly. Truth, which he will tell you in John 8, this truth has the power to do what? Set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's one deposit of truth that he is ministering to you. And that's why you come to church, by the way. That's why you're here. Sometimes I get a little sad because I wonder, you know, I see people, I wonder, is this the value and priority of our life? Is it? Or do we just take this attitude to the church of, I got to go up there again. We just got to do it because we always do it. He is ministering to you the truth in this corrupt, dangerous, evil age. There's only one truth. It's him. And he's committed to it, to teach you it. So you be committed to it. That's what a wonderful thing. So that's what you've received from him today. All the world gropes around trying to figure this out, and every Sunday you come up to the house of the Lord and you are ministered grace and truth from him. Endless flow, endless. That's one of the most exciting messages in our day. There's one more encouragement here today, and then we'll stop. His presence is with you. He's tabernacling among us. He's given us access. In the face of Jesus Christ, we see the glory. His ministry to you is gracious and full of truth. And his revelation to you is complete. That is really important. Notice what verse 8 says. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. He's talking about the Father. What John is saying is we saw that glory in the face of Jesus. So we saw that glory. We saw him for who he is. He is the Son of God, which makes him equal with God. No man could ever see God and live. The tabernacle sealed off that presence. So what's he saying to us? He is the radiance of the glory of God and the imprint, says Hebrews, exact imprint of his nature. So throughout the Old Testament, no one could see God and live. And Moses is in the cleft of the rock. And think of what John is going to show you in chapter 14. Philip, Jesus, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient for us. Philip. We want to see God. We want unmediated access to God. We want to see unmediated God. His nature. Philip, Philip, Philip. Have I been with you so long? Think about this statement. Which of us would ever say something like this? Have I been with you so long and you don't know me, Philip? I am in the Father and the Father in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's the only way you're getting to glory. It's the only access you get. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's enough. Have I been with you so long, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? When you look at me, Philip, you see all you need to see of God. When you know me, you know all you need to know of God. I'm the mediator. I give you a perfect knowledge. This was his prayer in John 17. His prayer for you is this. Remember what he said? This is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So think of what the prologue just said to you today. A lot. God has come among us. In the face of Jesus Christ, we have access. He is our tabernacle who came to dwell with us and now has gone ahead of us into glory, a perfect tabernacle not made with hands, reserved in heaven for us. He's already carved the way. He's opened up heaven. He's opened up the promised land to you. He's already gone ahead. It's done. And now he is mediating and giving to you in this ministry grace and truth, and he gives you everything you need to know about God through his abiding presence by the power we're going to see of his Holy Spirit. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He is how you're made right. He is how you're brought back. Now let me close with this today. A serious question I have to wrestle with. How much does that matter to you? In the busyness of life and all that you're doing, how much does it really matter? I somewhat felt sad writing this because I don't think it's so much in this church at all, but I think many Christians today yawn at truth like this. I think many Christians just want to be entertained to death. This would bore them, and they would be worried about this. That breaks my heart. Thinking they need something more. Thinking they need some outward glorious experience. Think of the danger of ecstatic experience now. Think of the danger of pursuing glory outside of this now. That brings wrath. the wonderful truths that are ever imagined, could ever be imagined, have just been given. And I think the church is yawning at it today. I think the church is apathetic to it today. Worried about the length of sermons and worried about what better do you have to do with your time? Really? God has announced love to you. Do you yawn in the face of such a gift? Why would we think judgment coming is not just on those who turn their faces away from such a face? But I got good news. He's got more grace for you. He's got grace upon grace for you. To all who believe and turn from their sins and look to him and believe in his life and his death and his resurrection, John says, you've seen the glory. You've seen the glory. The glory of the only Son of God, of the Father, full of grace and truth. Have you beheld that glory? Have you beheld that glory? Well, I can promise you this, that when you behold that glory, you will truly begin to live in this life. You will truly experience and receive life. And that's what this book is going to show us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful truth that is here revealed and encourages us of putting the Bible together for us. And I confess at times as a pastor, my own apathy and my own dullness to such a truth, even to have confidence at times to preach these things because, well, your church doesn't seem at times to want to receive it. But I expect much better things here. And know, Lord, that this church in the Escondido URC loves everything that you've revealed. Bless them today. Open their minds with this truth. Give them a joy in it. Give them a ministry constantly of grace and truth and let it fill their lives, that it would lead to great praise in their lives and that they would see in this dark world the true light that is already shining. And thank you for your favor to us. Thank you for your care in revealing everything we need to know to be saved from all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, amen and amen. Oh, our God is tender and kind to us, is he not? We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, tomorrow it's testimony time. We're looking at the testimony of John the Baptist as well as others. It's in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.